1, 2, 3.
Do it.
Case on a deep drop. Steps up in the pocket. He'll fire to the right side. Caught by Diggs. Stay up.
Oh, my God. Loose.
Oh, my God. 30.
No.
Way. Touchdown. Are you kidding me?
Michael Bennett.
It's a Minneapolis miracle.
I mean, what I liked about our free agency is we kind of filled some glaring needs. We got some DN depth, if nothing else. We got safety, which was our biggest need going into it, I thought. And I think Amos, depending where you look, he was graded as a top five, top eight safety in the league. So, I mean, that's a good get.
What was your personal rankings? Or
no, look it up. He was the eighth overall graded safety last year. Pro Football
Focus. Eighth, I don't think we've had our top safety be that low in quite a while. I'm not used to looking that far down the list, Jimmy.
That's right. Where'd you finish in the playoffs?
Where did you?
Okay.
I'm saying.
So Green Bay is 12 and 30.
Last time,
correct?
I checked, we were ahead of you in the playoff
rankings. Yes. Yep. 12 is our pick.
And 30 is coming from the Saints from last year's deal?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and
you guys got fleeced on that trade.
Anyway, getting back to before we got derailed there. with the people we had in free agency, it gives us a lot of flexibility at 12. If our guy we don't like isn't there, you trade down, I guess. Future capital, maybe
sure.
Just another high second round. But at 12, you still have a lot of good talent for a number of positions. TJ could fall that far. Hawkinson, I could see him going that far. You could add more D-line depth with, like, Montez Sweat. However you say his name.
Sweetie Sweat.
Ed Oliver's another name I've seen drop that low in some drafts.
If you guys draft Ed Oliver, I'm going to be pissed.
Yeah.
I really want to face him twice a year. And then have to face Khalil Mack twice a year.
Another crazy thing with adding the depth we did, I mean, we don't have a glaring weakness. You could go for a high-risk, high-reward guy. You could go for Mike's guy and get DK Metcalf. Add another weapon for Rodgers there.
I don't like that. Let me correct myself. I like that pick for you because I think it would be not wise, but...
I'm just saying, like, the flexibility is there.
I understand, but that's where I'm coming from, and I'll let you get back to your kind of spiel here in a moment, but I think Green Bay is going to move down. I think they should take the same methodology as what I said for Detroit. If you've got those guys, those five guys that you think, hey, if they're there, we're taking them. But otherwise, I think... they might be going into that room thinking, okay, we're moving back. It's just a question of who gives us the best deal. Hawkinson, I'm curious on your take on that. Like, if he's there at 12 and you take him at 12, what are your thoughts on that? I mean, are you happy with that pick? Or
I'd be very happy with that pick. We haven't had a good tight end that's produced for us since, I guess you could say, JerMichael Finley. Tight ends make a pretty big difference in the league if you can get a good, well-rounded one.
Yeah, well, especially an athletic one.
Well, typically they have more pounds on them, so they're usually more well-rounded.
Jokes for days.
But you guys got stuck at Jimmy Graham.
So about TJ Hawkinson, no, I think I would be happy with that. I would honestly, I don't think he'll fall at Oliver, I'd be happy with. I honestly wouldn't even be too upset if we packaged something and traded up and got an athlete like Devin White at linebacker.
Maybe trade up with Detroit?
Sure. If White falls to 8, you trade up to 8. I never really like trades within
division,
but
yeah.
It's
hard to do that.
If you could get a freak athlete like Devin White that could be a sideline-to-sideline guy and you have Blake Martinez calling your plays kind of as that as your linebacking core, I'd be super happy with that too. So there's a lot they can do. Kind of curious how this, like I said, it's only their second draft, so kind of curious what they're going to do with it. But I wouldn't be surprised if they move one of them. Up or down, yeah.
I think they won't select at 12, and they will not. They certainly will not select at 30.
I think 30 is a 10%
chance they select at
30. I don't think 30, they move both, 30. They're going to select at 12 or 30. I don't think they move both.
I think they'll move. I'm saying they move both.
For what?
Well, go from 12 down to like somewhere in the late teens,
and then
you move from 30 to the top of the second.
That'd be a good one. Carolina jumps to 12,
16, I think.
Yep.
But 30, that spot's going to be coveted quite a bit, because you said you get that fifth year.
That 30. Yep.
So I just think, and I'm basing this a little off what we saw last year, but they moved around quite a bit. They've been aggressive. This is clearly, unfortunately, a front office that appears to be competent now. And, I mean, I look at this. If I could be one team probably in this draft, they got to be damn near the top of the list with what the options
flexibility
they have.
Flexibility-wise, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know
Absolutely.
What I mean?
Absolutely.
So,
which is annoying to me, but it's...
That's why I don't think you sit here and stand pat at 12. I think mm-hmm. you're
making phone calls. Yeah. You're making phone calls, and you're not making your pick until you got 10 seconds left, and all the phone calls are exhausted.
Yep.
And this is more of like a fan perspective. I'd like to see us move up. We've been a team that's moved back all the time. If the guy is there and you're only giving up a little bit to move up, I'd like to see it create some excitement around a player. But
you have Aaron Rodgers. Why need more excitement?
Because he hasn't gotten us more than one, as you pointed out earlier.
But he's also soft, right? So
plus they're already excited from the off season.
Yeah, new coach.
Had a hell of an off season. But, at least okay. from a money spending standpoint, they True. Had a hell of an off season. We'll see if it
coaches. Well, I think anyone holding freaking Sean McVay's jockstrap right now is probably like in the lead for head coaching jobs. Mm. That's what it seems like, man. Yeah. Matt LaFleur. Good luck with your losers in Las Vegas.
It's like you and Gruden.
Cliff Kingsbury.
What about Gruden?
Apparently you're a big Gruden guy. I didn't know that.
I'm a big Mayock guy.
Okay. Well.
Gruden doesn't even factor into that. I mean, the Gruden grinder is great. Like, I miss the Gruden grinder on Monday Night Football. But Mayock's the man, man. You watch. Mayock will have that team into shape in 3 years. You don't believe me.
Okay.
You watch. Okay, so we talked to death of the Green Bay Packers draft strategy. Anything else you want to add there, Jimmy?
No. I think they'll move one. I don't think move both. But, yeah, we'll see what happens. They could kind of go anywhere. Tight end, linebacker, D end, receiver.
It's all open.
I'd like one of them, yeah.
Mike, Minnesota Vikings are on the clock at 18. Who'd you pick?
You can go out anywhere right now, read any mock drafts. What are you going to see? You're going to see Bradbury, Ford, Jonah Williams. You're going to see something like that. I don't think we're selecting at 18. And I'm not going O-line with the first pick. I'm mixing it up, Ed.
You think you're going to trade as well?
Yeah, I do.
Okay. So where are we trading?
I'm not necessarily going to move or rule out either way. I think it's more likely we move back, maybe to like the 22 to 26 range. I don't think it's going to be a significant drop, just a little bit, and maybe you're not picking up that much. But like I told you, I think there's going to be a lot of movement between other teams early on, and I think a lot of these players that make sense for the Vikings are going to still be there, even in the early 20s, much less at 18. So I don't see us selecting at 18. I think they're dropping back.
Hey, you're going to be Rick Spielman. I'm going to be Mike Mayock. Okay. Bring, bring. Bring, bring.
Hello.
Rick. We want 18.
Okay.
We have 24, right? Our second. Our fifth.
Dude, what do I think? We're done. Where do I sign?
Call it in. Call it in. So you take that trade, huh?
Okay.
I'm 24, okay.
24 and 2 alone, I would take. I'm curious.
So you're trading. No, by the way, the last time we picked at 18, we picked Erasmus James. FYI. Get your curious.
He was a badger.
Then before that, we picked. Regardless, I digress. So, yeah, so you think we're trading back. We're not going to pick at 18.
No.
If we were to pick at 18, who do you want?
That's a tough one. I know Jonah Williams is the guy that a lot of people are falling in love with around here.
I just don't think he's going to be there at 18.
I mean, that's the thing, right? You've seen some mock drafts where he goes at 16, 17, 18. Unfortunately, like you said, a lot of teams in that area potentially are all intrigued. at that player. If he's there, I think that obviously is a route that, you know, I would be fine going. Other than that, I think...
The weird thing for where you guys are is you're kind of the back end of the needed offensive line.
Right.
I think Washington might go O-line. Carolina could go O-line. They're ahead of you. Denver could go O-line. Jacksonville could go O-line. So, I mean, I think some of the better players, you might be left with the best of what could be a first round. So
this is where I see potentially a trade up. Because if you're sitting there and Williams is there at 13 or 14, you're kind of forcing yourself into thinking, well, do we bump up a few spots? Maybe spend a little bit of draft capital and get that guy? Because he is so high on our board. I don't know where their board is at, but if he's that high on their board, I think you move up four spots to pick that up. And then you do some maneuvering in the back half of the draft to recoup whatever you just lost. But I could see that, because then you're jumping Washington, you're jumping Carolina, into possibly taking that guy if he's there.
Yeah. I guess for me, if they're selecting at 18, and again, I don't envision that's how it's going to go. So for me...
Me neither.
I think they're going to move back. And actually, I'm going out of the box here. I won't be shocked if they take a wide receiver. I really won't.
I will be a little bit shocked because everyone is expecting them not to take O-line, which is why I think they're going to take O-line.
I think you just locked up Thielen. You have Diggs. You have Cousins. You know offense is going to be a major piece of this going forward. If either of those tight ends are there, or if they really like one of those higher up receivers that they can put into the slot, I don't know. I'm fine. I kind of want to see it happen just because I want to see the fire burn through Vikings Twitter and see what happens here. But I think if you could pick up assets, moving back a few picks, get that wide receiver, and then get an O-lineman or two somewhere in the 30s and then 50, you know? I don't know. I'd be fine with that.
Here's where I'm at with it. So, like I said, I think if all the tackles that you covered that are some of these elite prospects are gone at 14, you're calling teams to potentially trade down from 18. If those aren't available, and like TJ Hockenson isn't there, I think you're taking your own lineman. I think you're taking
a Gary Bradbury at 18.
I think you could trade down and still get Fant.
I think I'm on board. I think I'd trade down and get Fant because you got Tennessee and Pittsburgh right after you.
I'm blanking on the guy's name, but I think it's Irving or something. There's another tight end that's very comparable to Fant. So if you traded down, you could get one of those two. I believe he's out of Alabama, Irv or something. Okay.
I think if you're targeting the TE, you definitely trade down unless both are gone by then. But if your top tackles are gone, your tight ends are gone, yeah. I see you trying to trade back as much as possible.
Irv Smith Jr.
And if you can't make that happen, I think you technically reach and you grab a Garrett Bradbury or you grab one of those top-end interior guys. And I think part of that is the context of what happened last year, where this insane run happened on him in the top end of the second round. I don't see us trading up that far in the second round to make a difference, but I see us potentially reaching by conventional wisdom to take one of those guys at 18. Even though it would be a massive reach, you look at a guy like Garrett Bradbury, he's built for this zone scheme. You look at some of his tape, and it's lights out, and then you can move Elfline to guard, which is another position in need, and maybe he does better there. He obviously does very well in open space, but he's not super great at center. In pass blocking situation, so maybe that fixes his career, and now you put in a lockdown center for the next decade. I think that fixes your entire line right there with one move. That's very attractive to me at 18. And if you can trade back to like 20 and make that happen still,
right?
All the better.
Yeah,
that's where I'm at with that. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm not, like I said, I don't envision the pick at 18. You know, I know as we get through this here, I guess a question for me, I have something in my mind that I think has a legitimate chance at happening, but let's say, and maybe you guys need a chance to think about this for a moment so I could go first, but give me one crazy, you know, yet realistic thing that you could see happening for your team on Thursday night. Mine is that the Vikings trade Trey Waynes on Thursday, and
Can I pick that one
too? This draft, a lot. I think the first defensive back is slotted to come in maybe early 20s for being selected. Obviously, it's Wayne's last year. I don't know that it makes sense financially for us to bring him back, even if we want to. I just don't know how we're going to make it work. So if you can get rid of him and then potentially use a draft pick here to get a guy to replace him that is arguably one of the top ones in the class, I think that that's something that has a realistic shot at happening this year. And I don't know. I'm not going to be shocked if that happens.
What do you get in return for Wayne's?
That's what I'm trying to figure out, because it's, you know, is a team going is the team going to trade for him with the intention of re-signing, you know? But can that be factored into the deal? I don't really know how that works.
See, okay, but is that entirely necessary? When you think about just capital given up, if you bring in Trey Wayne's on his last year's deal, if you trade for him, even if you give up a second round pick, more than likely, he's going to command a contract that's going to get you a third-round comp pick in the year after that. So technically, you're net almost zero on that, and you still got him at a fairly cheap one-year deal.
Yeah.
So if I'm a team trading for Trey Wayne's, I'm not necessarily too concerned about giving up, unless I'm giving up like a first, which I don't think he'd get. But I think that's mine, too. Is you trade Trey Wayne's, maybe you take your wide receiver / tight end in that first round, the 18 slots, somewhere around there. And then you trade up with, say, Indianapolis. You trade Trey Wayne's to Indianapolis for a second, and, I don't know, maybe you get a fifth and they get a fourth, something like that.
Yeah.
You think you're going to get a second for Trey Wayne?
Possibly. Second, and then you downgrade a pick so they can upgrade a later round pick.
Yeah, I suppose.
It's extremely possible. And then you're sitting there at the top of the second round, and you can have basically your pick of a couple really solid interior alignment. I could see that a lot.
Is that where you're going with then?
I think that's what I have to go with, because that's about the thing that makes the most sense for me. Because you guys know I'm a big cap guy, and not having to deal with the Trey Wayne's contract next year is pretty big deal, and you don't want to just let him walk for nothing.
I like it.
Jimmy?
Crazy? How far crazy of the spectrum do you want to go here?
God, I hope it's trading Rodgers.
What's going 9 out of 10?
It's not even a trade. We draft Drew Lock at 30. Draft a quarterback in the first round.
Yeah.
I mean, he's got Rodgers isn't a free agent until 2024, but...
It's about what they did with Rodgers with Favre still under contract.
Maybe. Yeah, I think Favre was like 35 or 36 when they did that too. I think everyone would hate him, and Locke would have to get over that, much like everyone had to get over when he drafted Rodgers. Okay, I don't not like it.
But you understand, though, the second you pull that trigger, the second that starts, in about 3 or 4 years, you're going to have Rodgers quarterback in the Vikings for 2 years. that's inevitable of that. Okay, if Rodgers produced a 2009 for us like Favre did, you wouldn't be happy with that?
I'd love another NFC title loss.
Maybe it would have been different.
I never like despised Favre. You know, I was just like impressed, and he had that whole gunslinger thing, and it's like, okay, we play Green Bay, like we're going to be in for a game. Like, I can't stand Aaron Rodgers. Literally cannot stand it.
Oh, I want Drew Lock. Let's go. But make it happen.
If Aaron Rodgers gets me a goddamn Lombardi,
honest to God, I don't even know that I would. No, I'd rather not have it.
Yes, you would.
No, I'm serious. I would. If Rodgers led us to a Super Bowl, I'd rather not win a Super Bowl than have to deal with that.
Can you imagine?
Can you imagine the Green Bay fans saying that he came here and got us that?
I wouldn't care.
Oh my God! Help me out on that. Call me out. Wait, while we're on this topic, not that topic, but hypothetically, Jimmy, let me throw this at you.
Yeah.
Let's say Kyler doesn't go 1, and he's there at 12. Do you think that they would consider taking Kyler Murray at 12?
No, because someone would, and we'll trade back.
Well, here's the question.
Kyler Murray, so like the reason I said Drew Lock at 30, I think it's a guy that can sit on the bench for two years and be happy. Kyler Murray's a guy that's going to want to start in a year. At the latest, if not this year.
Here's my question. If Kyler Murray is there at 12, what's wrong with him?
Also a good point.
I mean, there's you know, the scenario is an interesting point, but if he's there at 12, why? I'd be hesitant.
I mean, you are talking about a guy that did move quite a bit up the rankings over the course of the last year.
You know, 1 year. I mean, he got offered a baseball. He might have went and played MLB. Let's go here. San Francisco, pick two. They got Garoppolo. Jets. Sam Darnold. Oakland, you don't like Carr. They have Carr. Tampa Bay, 5.
Tampa. They have Fitzpatrick. No, they don't. Not anymore.
Fitzmagic. But
they have Jimmy.
Okay, so Jeez. There you go. Giants at 6. The only way they don't go with him at 6 is if they pick Haskins over him. Which
it is the Giants.
I've heard they're enamored with Haskins.
Who just said that they clearly saw Eli Manning show that he is ready last year.
Yeah, so then you have 7, Jacksonville.
They just signed Foles to a
That's my point.
So that's 7. $88 million deal.
Detroit?
Best deal ever.
Detroit at 8.
Stafford's one of the highest paid QBs.
There you go. Buffalo, they have Allen.
Denver.
I don't think he gets past Denver.
if you're Denver and he's there, I think you're pulling that trigger.
Yeah, you're sprinting up to the podium.
Although basically you just lit Flacco on fire there because he hates competition.
But, I mean, I get it, but let's just say the hypothetical, if he was, you know, that's all I was looking for.
If he was there, nothing's wrong with him?
I don't want him.
Let me throw it at you, if he's there at 18.
Watch, there's definitely something wrong with him. How is he even thinking about this? Yeah, I would take him at 18.
We have kind of slaughter.
I'm just asking, if he fell to 18.
Besides trying to trade the pick, yeah, you probably have to take him. I don't know, that's a tough one. To be clear, I'm on board the Cousins train. Yeah. I wish you'd get paid a little bit less, but that's neither here nor there. I don't know, man. That's a tough one.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. That's tough. Anything else with the draft we want to talk about here, boys?
Well, one other quick question. You brought up with your crazy scenario. Do you see any other players traded on draft day? You said your guy, Trey Waynes. Do you see any other player trades? Do you think Rosen gets traded? Is there another player that's rostered that someone's going to get traded?
I think of the players, I think
like a top end talent, not like someone in like the fifth round.
That's about the only one I could see.
Would be Allen.
Would be Rosen. All right. Just because I don't see anyone else, any other team in that scenario,
Oakland,
where they would overlap.
Wasn't Oakland there?
Why would they trade Carr though?
Because Gruden doesn't like him. I don't know.
No, but I don't think they would have to. We bring up his contract here.
I believe he's got one or two left. Two.
Are they still under Oakland, or are they under some damn other name?
There. The right is.
Derek Carr. 2019.
Frank Clark
another
is
negative
one
on him, so.
To keep in mind.
The end?
Yeah. Because the Seahawks came out and said that they would, after the restructure, or the whatever
Rodgers,
it was for
Russell
Wilson,
yeah.
They said they're open to trading franchise defensive end Frank Clark, and teams have been calling.
Mm-hmm.
So that's another one to look at, too.
Possibly trading away the first-round pick for him?
Where, you know, they might get rid of him and bring in something. So it'll be another name to keep an eye on.
And Derek Carr, I don't think anyone's going to take that contract, but he's got $19.9 million guaranteed this year. That's rough for Derek Carr. He has not had a great couple of years.
Sure.
So
I mean, that makes sense. I'm just curious.
Yeah, I think Rosen would be about the only one I'd see. And I think the only reason why we're talking about Trey Waynes is because, for me, A, we're really good at developing DBs in Minnesota, and B, we're in a cap situation that it would immediately behoove us to do that. Because we need to start saving for next year, too. That's going to get tight as well, and we already need to pick up about somewhere around $4 million to be able to start the damn season. Sign rookies and sign practice squad. That doesn't happen for free.
Yeah.
So, anything else with the draft? No. Let's talk about schedule releases, shall we?
Yeah.
Pretty interesting couple games here. Now, the Vikings and the Packers are actually in lockstep with the schedule as far as away and home games go.
Five primetime games each, I believe.
The only difference being that, you know, we have a second place schedule, they have a third place schedule. So
for matchups, yeah.
Yeah, we play, I think it's Atlanta and Seattle, and I forget who you guys play. But yeah, so Detroit won't matter, although Mike thinks he's higher on them than most anyone should be.
Okay.
We say that every year, Mike, and every year they turn out to be trash. Every year, don't lie, it's true. You know it's true. Every year we say, you know, Detroit made some sneaky good stuff. Then they end up 7-9 or 6-10 or some other crap, and they're done.
Weren't they 10-3 3 years ago, and they just needed to win one game to lock up the division, yeah. And they lost all three?
Yeah. So Detroit is going to Detroit. Until proven otherwise, Detroit is going to Detroit. So they don't factor into this whole thing.
Detroit's the only team that has primetime players retire after 10 years because they're sick of it. They had two of them. Barry Sanders.
Calvin Johnson. Yeah. So, before we get into that, let's bring up the Bears schedule here, because I think they have a...
Well, they'll have a first place.
They have a tough sled.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not typically on the whole first place schedule is a big deal thing, because if you actually look at it, a lot of teams, even if they get a third place schedule, they go 1-1 in those games, and first place schedule, they go 1-1. So, it doesn't really ever seem to matter, but... Chicago's going to have to play at Los Angeles. And I think they have to play New Orleans as well, don't they?
Yeah, they would have to.
Yeah, they play at home versus New Orleans, but that's only October 20th, so it's not going to be like a bitter cold game. So, Super Bowl participant and NFC Championship winners, and they get to play them both.
Yeah. And then... road games against our teams. I mean, those are always, divisional games are always tough. So, I mean, I think they have tough sledding. I think, and with their regression, I think they're going to have on defense, I think everyone's going to kind of gun for them, and they're going to be on the losing end of that. So, I see them as a 6-10 team.
Wow, 6-10, big drop. Yeah. 11-5 last year, I believe.
You see the Bears as 6-10?
Yeah.
I
don't know that they're going to fall that far. I think that even though Fangio leaves, I mean, Khalil Mack is still a monster. That defense is still going to be something. I'll go 8-8.
All right.
What are you at?
I'm at like 7-9. Kind of in between you guys. I don't think they're going to be nearly as good. I think they're going to face some games and they just...
Give me your 7 wins. You got your schedule pulled up?
7 wins.
Yep.
All right. Let's try to find 7 wins on the Chicago Bears schedule. I think they probably split with Green Bay, so they're going to take one there.
Which one? Are they going to win the first game of the year? Or are they going to win at Green Bay?
They're going to win at Green Bay because...
End of the year?
Because it's just kind of weird like that.
We got the division locked up already and we're not...
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah, okay. So they're going to win there. I think they win Denver.
At Denver.
I think they win at Washington.
Okay.
They should beat Oakland. If they can't muster that, I don't know what's wrong with them. Lose to New Orleans. See them losing to the Bolts. Beating Philadelphia, I can see that again. So that's 5.
At Philly?
Yeah. Keep them with hope. Then, see, they'll lose versus Detroit. Lose at the Rams. Lose to New York.
Wow.
Win at Detroit. So we're at 6 now. And then, just to throw a wrench in it, let's say they win versus Kansas City. Late in the year where it doesn't matter.
There's your 7. All right.
That's it.
Lions win loss projection.
I don't want to disrespect them too much, but 4-12?
4-12. Back in the top 5 picks, huh? Mike, Lions projection. Win loss. You got 4-12 over there.
4-12.
What were they last year?
I
mean, their 8th pick.
Couldn't have been that good.
5-11.
Hold on. Checking.
Checking.
That police cruiser is hot.
I'm going. Let's see how many wins here. 1.
Detroit.
2, 3, 4.
Detroit last year was 6-10.
6-10.
5, 6.
Only half a game worse than Packers.
I'll go 7-9.
7-9 for Detroit? Who are they winning against? Make you do this time.
I'll say they beat Arizona. Right off the gate.
Oh, then Kyler Murray's going to come out.
Then they go loss. They win one of the Green Bay-Minnesota games for 2. They beat New York is 3. Beat Oakland 4. I'll say Tampa's 5. Denver's 6. Green Bay 7. They end on a 3-game win streak to get to 7.
All right. Green Bay loses their last game after playing Detroit. Like
Rodgers won't play that game.
Last 4 weeks. Because they'll be eliminated from playoff contention at that point?
Yeah, it won't matter one way or the other for them.
So they'll be eliminated from playoff contention?
Sure.
This guy calls himself a Vikings fan. He can't even muster up like enthusiasm to say that.
I'm trying to be realistic. The
Packers. I know you're trying to be realistic.
He's a realist, right?
But you know what? We're railing on the Packers here. That's not a time to be realistic, okay?
Fair.
You know? So, Jimmy, what do you think your Packers are going to do?
10-6. I want to say 11-5, but realistically, I think 10-6. I think they'll get back to the playoffs.
As a division winner?
So, weird thing about it, I think it's a toss-up between the Vikings and the Packers at 10-6, 11-5. And I think both the Bears and the Lions will be 6-10 area.
So maybe week 16 decides division, more or less?
I think that Christmas weekend game is going to be huge. It doesn't matter who wins week 2. I still think that Christmas...
It's my birthday.
Christmas game. Yeah.
Happy birthday, Mike.
It's going to be an intense night.
Yeah.
I can already feel the hangover on the 24th.
I just want to point this out here. So they have tickets on the ESPN site. We're looking at the schedule. And it's very telling when you see the prices of tickets, and like at Chicago it's $260, that's as well as you can get in the door. At Dallas, $74. Versus Detroit, so it's home game for Green Bay, $133. At Detroit, $40. Like, that's just ridiculous. Anyway.
Yeah, I say 10-6.
So what were your 6 losses?
6 losses? I think we split with you guys.
Okay.
I think we'll lose at Kansas City. I think it'll be a tough game, but I think it's going to be a shootout, and they're going to win. Kansas City will win. So there's 2 losses. I think we'll split with the Bears.
Okay, 3 losses?
3 losses there. I think we'll go out on top at the end of the year. We'll beat Detroit with our backup.
It's okay.
We'll beat Washington. We'll beat the Giants. At Frisco, be curious. I'm curious what team Frisco's going to put together this year. And coming off a bye week, teams are usually typically kind of slow. It could be a game where we get punched in the mouth and lose.
So you got, what, 3 losses so far? You got to pick 3. Up some losses here, man.
San Francisco, 4, I'm saying.
Okay.
I think we lose there. And I think we lose to the Bolts for 5. And we don't win both Philly and Dallas. We're going to lose one of the East games.
All right. Not bad. Okay. Mike. We're going to both do this one here. Collaboratively.
I have Green Bay at 9-7. Just for the record.
I think I'm pretty close to that, too. I wouldn't be surprised.
9-7 and making the playoffs? A wild card or no?
I think it's either them or Chicago. I had Chicago at 9-7, too. So I think it'll depend on the tiebreaker.
Jeez, who's going to lose in the Central? You have the Bears at...
I think it's going to be a good division.
9-7, 9-7, 7-9.
Yeah, that's not going to happen, but you can have delusions there.
That means at best you guys are like 10-6.
Yeah.
Okay, Michael, are you 10-6?
I think at 10-6, yeah.
Okay. Right now, pre-draft, I'm about 10-6. We can talk about, you know, post-draft after this, but after the draft. Now, I think me and you are at odds with Seattle, but I count that as a guaranteed lock win. I would lock that in right now. We're winning that game.
It's coming off a bye.
We haven't beaten them in a decade. I think we're due. I think we're just... Everything that went wrong in that game was self-inflicted. It really was. And if it wasn't for...
It is, but
you see the similar performance of the Zimmer defense, and really it's the offense that ebbs and flows that really controls this team. And I don't think we can get worse than that game. That game, which was so bad, we basically caused us to fire our offensive coordinator. Like, I don't know how much worse of an offense performance you can put together than that.
Yeah.
I just don't see it, especially coming off of a bye. You're going to have a whole extra week to prepare. I just see that as a guaranteed lock win. So, six losses. I think we split with Green Bay. So, that's one there. I think we lose at the Chargers. I think we end with win-win. So, our last two homestand games, we win. So, I think we lose at Green Bay. I don't really know why. It just kind of feels like it's destined to be that way. Lose at LA, lose Kansas City. I think that'll be closer than people realize, but I think we're going to lose Kansas City. And if not, we're going to lose Dallas, one of those two.
Back-to-back road games, tough.
Back-to-back road games, that's tough. I think we drop one to Chicago. So at Chicago, I think we just lose that one. So we're losing to Green Bay, lose to Chicago, lose to Los Angeles, lose to Kansas City. I think we lose to Detroit at home, week 14.
Yeah, you're coming around.
Because we always seem to drop a game that we shouldn't drop, that we do. And Detroit is apparently basically subletting US Bank Stadium from us at this point. I think we beat them once at home. So, that's five.
I think you guys are riding high into the bye week, and I think you lose three of your last four.
Yeah, I'm not with Jimmy on that statement, but I think
three of your last five.
It's definitely
yes.
You need to look at the first 8 weeks, and you probably need to try to come out of that 6-2, because I don't know if you have a team that has as brutal of a second half schedule as we do. I mean, at Kansas City, at Dallas, at Seattle, Green Bay, Chicago, at LA, Detroit. I mean, it's just that's a gauntlet.
But okay, but to me, the spacing of it is really not that bad, because if you look at okay, so we go at Detroit, fine, but that's indoor stadium. That's Detroit. It shouldn't be that tough of an opponent. And then you come home Thursday against Washington.
That's the front half, though. I'm not talking about
But I'm leaning into that, Mike. I'm leaning into that because you said that it starts with the gauntlet at Kansas City, but you're walking into Kansas City with 10 days rest. So you have mini bye going into Kansas City. That's why I think that game's going to be a lot closer than people realize. And then, yeah, we're going on the road against the Dallas, but Dallas is also Sunday night game. So you have a little bit more rest there, a little bit more prep there.
Right.
And then you're versus Denver, which should be a fairly soft opponent before you go to your bye. Like, there's nothing that scares me from Denver's point of view right now.
No.
And then you go to your bye, and then I still think Seattle's a win. And then a home game against Detroit, which you really should be able to get up for. And then, yeah, you go to the Bolts, but it's L.A. in December. There are worse games to go to late.
Well, we can't find a loss then, right now.
I'm just saying, I don't think that back half of the schedule is as bleak as you think it is. Because then you're home against Green Bay, and you're home against Chicago to close out the back
just
half.
For me, I think at Green Bay week two, I like that. It's early. They have a new coach. They're going to have some new moving pieces.
Mm-hmm.
It's not
Atlanta doesn't usually start hot either, so
it's not going to be a cold weather game. I think that's a game that the Vikings hopefully can go. Hopefully I'll be there, and I can actually see one team win one or the other as opposed to a tie. But, you know, that's a huge game. And then, you know, you have at Chicago, at New York, which I think New York is going to be horrible this year. We talked about Chicago taking a little bit of a slide. I just see the front half is more maybe what I was saying, where we can really establish some wins. And then, again, I'm not saying we're going to free fall in the second half, but I think you're going to see a few more losses in that second half.
Agreed.
En route to what hopefully will be a good season, and 10-6.
My initial projection was 6-2 through the first eight, yeah, and 4-4 through the second.
That's what I just where I was at.
But me talking into it, I'm like, I'm more towards 11-5 in this schedule.
Yeah, I just the NFL is there's some good teams certainly in the NFC, and then we're hitting a couple on the other side in Kansas City and the Chargers. I just think you've got a lot of talent. Green Bay, Chicago. Seattle played a lot better than last year. Dallas is looking to be a good team this year. Philadelphia wants to rebound. I mean, you have teams that all legitimately are expecting to win. You have guys doing podcasts right now with all of those teams that are guessing 10 wins, 11 wins. So it's definitely going to be a tough year, and I don't know. I'm excited.
Clearly, there's not guys from Detroit podcasting 10 win season. You said guys podcasting that are projecting 10 wins.
Yeah, but I didn't mention Detroit specifically.
Okay, so we're on the same page that Detroit podcasters are not projecting 10 wins.
Right.
Okay.
Seven or eight for Mike.
Four for me. Oh, the look I just got there is just great. All right, so schedules. Anything else for schedules, boys?
No.
I think that about wraps that up.
I kind of like how they line up in the division. There's a lot of tough games throughout for the three that they say could compete in the North. So a lot of overlap. We play Kansas City the week before you do. So, I mean, I think weeks 8 and 9 will be very telling of how the rest of the season will go.
Right. I'm kind of miffed that we're playing at Chicago again. Or
at Seattle.
Home versus Chicago again for like the third, fourth year in a row. Like, give us a different opponent at the end of the season.
Oh,
like, you guys got to be sick of playing Detroit.
Same, yeah, we've had the same. We've ended with the Bears and Detroit the last few years. Packers, or we played the Vikings too.
Yeah,
it's kind of annoying for me, but
I get having a divisional game at the back end, but I hate having two or three lined up. But
they want to make the divisions more interesting towards the later in the season.
One quick thing that we didn't really hit on, they both have, my team and your team both have 5 primetime games. Does that wear on either team?
Wears on us.
That's, well, I didn't want to bring up the elephant in the room with Kirk Cousins, but
it's got to be better in those games.
I think that stat's just a myth.
It is to a point, but they got to get W's out of it somehow.
Okay, you say that's a myth. What are they going to those primetime games? You have 5 of them.
Let's go 4-5, 4-1.
You go 4-1.
We're gonna win Washington.
Yeah.
We're gonna beat the Packers. I already projected that.
That's 23rd, December 23rd.
Yep.
Yep. We're gonna beat Seattle. I already put that as a lock. That's our Monday night game.
That is not happening.
So Dallas was the other one. What's the other one?
Chargers is that one?
That might be, yeah.
What's the team you play right before Kansas City?
Before Kansas City?
That was your Thursday night game.
Washington, I think.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it is Washington.
Yeah,
Thursday.
Washington. You mentioned that already. So he's 4-1. What are you?
I'll say 3-2, and I think I'd be happy.
What do you
want? 3-2.
Okay, so you have to go 3-2. If you're 2-3 in primetime games.
Well, no, because look, I have us losing to Kansas City. I have us losing to Seattle.
Okay.
I have us losing to the Chargers if that's one of the games.
So you have us beating Washington and beating Green Bay.
Yeah. So 2-3. I'll be happy if they go 3-2.
Okay. It's because me, I have us beating Washington. I have us beating Seattle as their walks. I have us beating Green Bay at home. I don't think that goes any way different at week 16. You haven't beat us at US Bank Stadium yet.
No.
So I don't think that changes.
Has Rodgers played you at US Bank Stadium?
Yes. Yeah. Last year. And he was fully healthy, so get to use your damn excuse of, Rodgers was only 30%. There's no reason why, you know, we tied. We wouldn't have tied if he wasn't coming off of injury, you know. I hear it all the time from you Packer fans, man.
You Packer fans.
That's where the bar injury happened, too. It wasn't so he played.
Oh, yeah.
For half a quarter.
Yeah, well, you know, Aaron Rodgers walks into a bar.
Oh, my God. So you have us at 4-1.
Just kidding, Jimmy. Just kidding.
You have us at 4-1 in those games?
Yeah, because I think we're going to take Dallas. We're going to lose one of the two between Kansas City and Dallas.
Oh, so it's Dallas and not the Chargers?
Dallas and Chargers.
So what are the 5?
The 5 are Green Bay.
Okay.
Chargers.
Okay.
Seahawks.
Yep.
Dallas.
Yep.
Redskins.
Oh, okay. Well, then I would say 3-2 would be what I would hope for.
You have to go 3-2.
Yeah.
I'm still thinking 4-1 is easily possible.
I think you're thrilled if they go 4-1 in those games.
But Mike's saying you have to go 3-2. If you're 2-3 in that,
I totally agree.
Yeah,
I think you'd have to end up at 3-2 to have a decent shot in the playoffs. Yeah. So, what about you in your primetime games?
I'm not sure. I'll pull them up.
God dang it, Jimmy.
Well, Minnesota's won.
Yeah, and I think, with that being a primetime game, it's going to depend a lot on where we're sitting. If we need to win to get in, we win that game.
I'm guessing the Chargers game is one.
Eagles?
Ooh, at Philly.
Where is that?
No, it's
Lions?
Home.
We play Philly at home, right?
The Lions Packers is a primetime game.
Is that Thanksgiving?
Yeah, it's Thanksgiving.
Oh, okay, then it's fine.
But why don't they have the times in the road upon? Jesus, your schedule. Mike,
you gotta
so
watch the
dumb.
Packers over Thanksgiving. How do you feel?
It's fine with me. I'll be, not any.
Hey, you'll be your Lions fan, 7-9. There you go.
Okay, so, yep, you got Thursday night against the Eagles. No, that's actually a Monday night game between Detroit.
Oh, God, why?
Chiefs is primetime.
That's a loss.
I
think. It'd be fun, but.
Vikings is primetime. I think you only have four. I don't know, you miscounted that. Vikings won. One of them isn't Saturday, is it?
No. Those aren't
Vikings won on Monday Night Football.
I may have miscounted, yes, sir.
Kansas City, Sunday Night Football. Detroit Lions, Monday Night Football. Philadelphia Eagles, Thursday Night Football. No, Chicago, Thursday. That's your first one.
Yep. Chicago. I think we win Chicago. 3-2, I want to go. I think we lose to the Chiefs, and I think, depending how we sit, we lose to you guys. But Detroit, no. We better not lose to Detroit.
Chicago to start off the gate? Chicago?
I think we win, yeah.
Wow.
I think there's going to be all the hype about Khalil Mack, and we have all...
New head coach, and you just think you're just going to stomp into the midway.
New head coach versus new defensive coordinator, yeah.
Let's see, one is a complete changing of your coaching staff, one is just one side of the ball, but, I mean, what a difference there, Jimmy. Come on.
Thanks for being neutral, Pat.
Come on, this is a Vikings show. Come on, you gotta expect some kind
of... Oh, no, I'm good with it. Just can't wait to prove you're wrong. Where are we watching that game?
Wherever you want, buddy. Right. Host it over here. Host it in the wine stand.
I'm not hosting it in this purple room.
Well, not here. It'll be in the red and brown room. The living room, Jimmy.
Yeah, I say we need to go 3-2. I think 4-1.
Screw it. 16-0 Vikings are going to go.
I'd love it.
19-0 to the Super Bowl.
16-0 and then lose in the second round of playoffs.
Nah. Not about that noise. We're not about that New Orleans Saints life. Okay, anyway. Any other things we want to wrap up here, gentlemen?
I don't think so.
That about covers it. I'm sure we'll have some draft breakdown after we actually draft. See who's right, see who's wrong.
Yeah, it'll be fun.
Everyone take notes of all the predictions we made and we can keep score later?
It's recorded.